When I was a child, I spent a lot of time with my grandmother, my Nan. She was the first great influence in my life. She was a small, fierce Jewish woman with a hard history. My Nan's parents were forced to flee Poland after the First World War, because during the war, that country was torn apart, and afterwards it faced ongoing threats of invasion on all sides. Its population turned to nationalism as a way forward. There were hostilities against Jews and other ethnic groups. The pogroms, anti-Jewish attacks, left homes, businesses, and synagogues looted, burned, and destroyed. Although her parents made it to London, the rest of my Nan's family weren't so lucky. All of those who stayed behind and endured the pogroms were rounded up and killed in the Holocaust. My Nan was born in the East End of London in the early 1920s, and she grew up in an isolated immigrant enclave speaking Yiddish as her first language. She carried a lot of pain in her small body and trauma and a deep grief. And she was loving. She took good care of me. She loved a laugh. She loved her nightly nip of scotch. She was a big Frank Sinatra fan. And she was a highly skilled and creative knitter. And yet my most abiding memory of my Nan is that she spent her life neck deep in Bruges. Bruges is a Yiddish word, and it's a word I heard a lot as a child. A Bruges is a feud or a dispute, a falling out that's hurt feelings. And in my family, the Bruges would rumble on. The original hurt might even sometimes get forgotten, but the painful feelings up on the surface, feelings of bitterness and resentment, these would stay very present, causing their pain over and over again. It was a kind of ongoing violence that impacted my Nan's life in significant ways. Bruges, it would make itself felt in conversations. It would hover over family gatherings. A Bruges from the past was an ongoing reality in the present, able to create ever more issues that might eventually start stacking up and lead to an irreparable break in a relationship all over the place. My Nan carried the great and always growing weight of all she couldn't forgive all her life. I bore witness to the exhausting torture of Bruges. I know she didn't choose it. I'm sure she believed there was no other way to be, no other way to respond to the hurt. But there is, I learned later in life, another way. By his life and through his teaching, Jesus offers us a radical understanding of the potential and the power of forgiveness that to this day is both resisted and often misunderstood. Jesus, the great reconciler, he lived so that we might be restored into fullness of relationship with God and one another. And Jesus insisted that we love even our enemies, And he insisted that all are included in God's restored vision for this world. And he teaches us that we must pay attention to forgiveness. Perhaps because we associate forgiving so strongly with forgetting, forgive and forget, we can think that forgiveness means setting aside our hurt and pain, disregarding it, essentially saying to the one who's harmed us, "It's all good. Shake hands, we'll move on." And yet, as many of us, maybe even all of us, know, the pain we can cause one another isn't so easily set aside, and some hurts, some terrible woundings, traumas, are rightly unforgettable. To forgive is not to forget. Instead, it's a way we might set down the heavy, stressful burden of resentment and reproach we might otherwise carry, the heavy, stressful burden of bitterness and ill will that will impact and distort our thinking and our doing and our ability to love. An unrelenting need for accountability or retribution is a torment heaped atop the original hurt, repeatedly heaped on top of the original wounding. The forgiveness Jesus calls us to, like the love he preaches, is rarely simple or easy, but it is a choice we can make. Jesus teaches that forgiveness can be a life-bringing way of responding to the broken world we live in, to its injustices, its abuses. If we choose it, forgiveness will offer a freedom from the agony of revisiting again and again the judgments we've passed, the hostilities we feel, freedom from turning over in our minds what we need to hear by way of apology or repentance from those who have done us wrong. Choosing forgiveness is where our transformation can begin. Most importantly, because forgiveness, the freedom of forgiveness, clears the way, makes healing possible. Healing of the wounded self, for sure, and maybe, hopefully, the restoration of relationships that have been broken. Our lives begin and end with our relationship to God. Jesus assures us of God's forgiveness. Returning to God, we're assured that nothing that we are or have done is able to or ever will separate us from the very ground of our being. Our relationship with God is where it begins and where it ends. It is the source of all life and of all love. It is the source of all healing. The forgiveness that draws us ever closer to God is the same restoring forgiveness we can choose to let transform our life and our world. Our forgiveness is not a free pass for the one who has done harm. Forgiveness does not excuse or deny the suffering caused by wrongdoing. Forgiveness places no obligation on the one wounded to restore or repair a broken relationship. The repentance of those who have harmed plays an essential role in any restoration that might be possible. Forgiveness is instead a starting place. It's where we can begin. set free from the torment of any need to retaliate, unburdened from any need or desire to punish or hurt in return for the harms we've experienced ourselves. Free from the torture of waiting for an apology that never comes. Forgiveness is a freedom that my Nan never knew, and a possible pathway to healing from the great traumas of her life that she never found. Earlier in Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Forgiveness is perhaps as hard today as it ever was, and much like loving our enemies, it is way easier to talk about than to live. But we do have a way to get there as followers of Jesus, an invitation, an unburdening, and it's our choice to make.